Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about toy overload when there's toys everywhere and how to help combat that. And for that, my guest this week is Leah Friars. Hello, Leah.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be back, baby.
Yes. Leah has been with us for a couple of episodes before, and she is back for this, and she's an expert in this because some of her nanny families have had problems with too many toys.
A little bit.
But before we get into that, let's do just a quick recap of your nanny history.
Sure. So I've been with a family in Chicago for about 3.5 years. I was with another family for a year before that, and then another family in Cleveland that took me to Atlanta for a good year and a half. So that's pretty much it.
So you've even moved with a family.
Yes, I have.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. All right. Let's start talking about
get into it.
Toy overload.
Those toys.
Yeah. So a lot of people have different philosophies about what's too many toys. And I know as nannies, we don't really get a say in how many toys the kids have.
No.
However, just to start us off, what is your philosophy about what is too many toys?
What is too many toys? Well, for me, I think there is a definite importance of personal space.
Mm-hmm.
When you have children, your whole life goes into them, everything.
Right.
But in order to keep your own sanity, you have to keep like those special places where this is just a coffee table that doesn't have coloring books and coloring stains all over it. And a living room is a living room. It doesn't have to have all the toys in it. Dining, you know.
Right.
So I think when it starts to spill, when you have designated spaces for toys and then it starts to spill over into the grown-up spaces, quote-unquote, then I think you got too many toys.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Have you found, I guess, so you're saying that the tipping point for it is when there's no longer space, adult space.
Yeah, and I think also no longer space for the toys. Like, if there's not a spot for them to live, then you have got too many.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I completely agree. And I know that with some of your nanny families, you have gone through and organized the toys.
Definitely.
And created a system for them.
Yeah. So I think that is hard. I think that differs from every person to person. Also on your own, what you can handle, like the amount of mess that you personally can handle. So I think a lot of my cleaning and organizing spans from I can't handle that much mess. But so I've taken to what I like to do is take ideas from their schools if they go to schools.
Ooh.
And how they organize their toys, because then it's familiar to them.
Right.
And also they know that you have to clean up afterwards.
Like
they remember that. So I did that with like an art table section. I had like it done almost exactly like they had at school. But other ones are kind of hard, but I like a lot of boxes and labeling. Right. I don't think that I'm great at organizing, but I can get it out of the way.
I think you're great at organizing. Thanks. From what I've seen. And whenever we have had a play date at your nanny family's, yes, cleanup has been so easy there.
Yes. Because, well, everything's labeled.
Right.
It has a home.
Yes.
Even though there's a lot of homes.
but yes, I do think that that's important. And then I think that also helps have a visual of like, this is our cars box.
Yeah.
And it is completely full. If you get more cars stuff, I'm not making a second box.
Yeah.
So some of this has to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that that's probably helpful to have all those spaces for it. Yeah. A lot of my nanny families have had more just like these are the giant bins where all the toys end up.
I've known families like that too, which is fine because then it just gets dumped and then it all goes back in there.
Right. However, the kids that want you to find
a specific thing,
the one blue car, then that is very tricky. And all usually for me ends up in
tears.
Yeah. Then you have to,
from you.
You have to help me or we're not going to find it.
Right.
And so, or I wasn't here last night. I don't know what you did with it. So that has been a struggling point.
Yeah.
But one of the best ways to prevent that from happening is to have fewer toys.
Yes, definitely.
So when you are approaching children about even the potential of giving away toys, because I know that even just talking about it can end in tears.
Oh, yeah. From like, you.
From you. Or from the kids.
From the kids.
Or from the parents. I feel like there's a lot of emotion in our stuff.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's a cultural thing that bleeds over into children for sure.
Yeah.
And having now started nannying for kids who do watch more TV and like actual TV, not Netflix.
Yeah.
I remember all the commercials.
Commercials, yeah.
There's so many commercials and they're marketed so well.
Oh, yeah.
Towards children. So I do see how kids are just being bombarded all the time with like, we need this stuff.
Yeah.
And it works super well.
Yeah.
On adults and children.
It totally does.
But how have you found success in the past of like even bringing up the idea of giving away some toys?
I know. I guess like it could be kind of harsh, my approach, but I just like tell it to them like it is. I'm like, listen, you've got too many. There are children that don't have any toys and that always sparks a conversation with them. And if that doesn't work, it always comes to, well, if you get rid of these, you make room for new toys.
Yeah.
Which seems to get them really excited because they're instant gratification children.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's the promise of new toys.
Yeah.
No, I think that that's a really good system. I know that you found success with donating to a specific classroom.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, which was really great because that's another thing with it is that when you tell them like there are children that don't have toys or there are spaces that really need toys and you don't play with these anymore, they start to think about it. And for one of the kids that I nanny, he wanted to see where the toys were going to go. Like who was going to get them so that he could show them like maybe how some of the toys work. And
that's like Toy Story 3.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. And I did cry, just like I did at the end of Toy Story 3 and throughout that entire movie.
So you bawled?
Yeah, I was sobbing in the corner, sucking my thumb. Anyway, and he was so excited about it and so happy. And he knew that he was doing something good, but he also like was a little embarrassed by it when people would bring it up to him, you know? So he knew that like, yeah, but don't talk about it. This is just it's just something good we did.
That's
awesome. And so like whenever I bring up again, like we got to go do another trip, we need to donate, he's like totally up for it.
Yes, I do think that there is something if you as a nanny and or a parent can find a way to let your child see that process from like these are toys that I don't play with anymore, to these children are now playing with my toys that I didn't even care about.
Yeah. Which was a little nerve-wracking at first, because right. You know that when other children look at your toys and they're like, wait a minute, that's cool. I want that back. Hold on.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. He was great.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then did you write afterwards, like, was there any literally instant gratification of, like, on the way home you stop by Target?
No.
Okay. I was just curious.
No. We didn't do anything like that. It was just the gratification that you did it.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I think that's probably why it's lasted so much longer.
I don't think he noticed that they were gone.
No. I didn't notice.
Yeah. See, I do that sometimes. And I'm not blaming the parents at all. Like, I think that you get busy. Like, in my own house, I have stuff like that that I need to get rid of that I just haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just don't have the time.
In mine.
Yeah. But when you have the time for somebody else and that's part of your job, you do it. And it's good to instill those values in them. But
did you talk to the parents about it before?
Yeah,
you did it?
I usually do, because they like to keep certain things. Like, they've kept some baby stuff just in case, which is fine. but certain toys that I just know they won't want to, they're not like hand-me-downs, they're not relics, you know, I can just get rid of. And I do that also sometimes when I know that there's just too many things, like McDonald's toys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many, and they get repeated, and then you just have a box of them that nobody plays with.
Mm-hmm.
So I drop off to like Salvation Army or whichever, you know, thrift store is closest, donation center.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, growing up, those always went to my mom's classroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, I'm going to put this in the prize box because you're not playing with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, do it.
That's great.
Make another child earn that thing that I got.
That I earned for eating free. My french fries.
Exactly. But, okay, how about toys that are broken?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, one, try to fix it? Two, do you tell the kid that you're getting rid of it and or throwing it away?
So I think this might be specific for every kid.
Right.
Because, we do try to fix toys the first time if they're broken, because usually it's a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do tell them that if they're not careful with their toys and if they break them, then I'm going to give them away to somebody who will take care of them.
Uh-huh.
And they don't really argue with that.
Right.
They're like, okay. But because they also have so many, and it's kind of, they kind of have that, like, now new mindset that if it's broken, it's a dead toy to them.
Okay.
They don't even want it.
So they don't mind.
No.
That's so funny.
I think there was one thing that they got really upset about that I said, all right, we'll try to fix it. And I put it away for a while and they never asked about it.
Hmm. Yeah. I've heard some parents have a tactic where they will hide a toy for like 2 weeks and just see if it gets asked about.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't get asked about, then they give it away.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably.
Yeah. There have been some that I've donated on my own and then have come up to bite me in the butt later because they've asked about it. I'm like, I don't know where that went. It's around here somewhere.
Yep.
But you just never find it.
Yeah. And then they'll forget about it.
Yeah. And then they forget about it again. Yeah. Until like a year later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think that's an overall really good approach. And I do think my personal philosophy, though I've never been like in charge of a toy purge, almost, in fact, all of the families that I've nannied for have done a really good job of doing it themselves, which is great. And they usually, like, a month before Christmas, like around Thanksgiving, we'll do like a big purge.
Yeah.
And then we'll do one before birthdays.
Yeah. So we've had the unfortunate luck of having a purge before Christmas and then right after that having to do another purge for a birthday.
Yeah. And that's just timing.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
But I think my personal philosophy is the more honest you can be about it with the kid, because then you're setting them up for success later in life. Like, no, you should part with some things to make room for other things in your life.
And I think the kids that I'm with now have really gotten it. Like, I've had a bag and a castle of toys of in the back of my trunk, and one of them saw it the other day, and they're like, "What is that? Why is that back there?" And I was like, "Oh, sit down. You're not supposed to see that." He was like, "Why do you have that?" I'm like, "Well, I'm donating it." Mm-hmm. He was like, "What? Okay." Like, just it's become so just easy part for of them. The,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's so great.
Yeah, but I've also known I was getting my hair done for a wedding once, and this woman was telling me that she likes to do threats for cleanup. Like, if you don't clean up this toy, I'm going to donate it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does.
Oh, yeah.
And then the kids are really upset, but then they always clean up after themselves.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I do. I have struggled with getting kids to clean up before, for sure. And I think that's probably a harder or a more difficult thing for a nanny to say.
Yeah.
Is if you don't clean this up, then it's going away.
Yeah.
But I think that they're... that you could talk to the parents about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I bet the parents would not mind their kids being better helpers with cleaning
up.
Exactly. And we do a lot of, like, we have 10 minutes left before we're moving on to whatever.
Yeah.
So now is the time to help clean up.
I also like to do, if you don't clean it up, then I'm going to clean it up. And you're not going to know where it went. And you're not going to see me later. And then you're going to wonder where that toy was.
That's a really good point.
You're going to wish that you put it away yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I usually get some going.
Yep. I always do the, I will help you for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And then after that,
you're on your own.
Yeah, whatever is left is for you to clean up. Yeah. And if you choose to waste the 5 minutes that I'm helping, then...
So be it.
So be it. Mm-hmm. Then you can't move on to the next cool thing you want to do until it's cleaned up.
Yeah.
And I was like, and a lot of time when we all work together, it takes less than five minutes. So let's just do it. Something else that I have seen in my research before this is to combat what you were talking about of toys taking over kind of a more adult spaces or just general family areas, is making a big square in a room and being like, the toys that are in this space can stay out, and like having times that also needs to be cleaned up, but the toys that are in this space can stay out.
Yeah.
But if it goes out of the space, then you have to clean it up.
Yeah, that's good too.
Of just giving literally clear boundaries of like, this is your space to play in.
Yeah.
And so if you bring a toy in here, great.
Yeah.
But if you run out of space in there.
Yeah. Then, no, that is really nice. I like that too.
I like that idea a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that I have seen that I am very curious about your opinion on is the 15 toy rule.
Yeah. So I had never heard of that.
Yeah. So this is something that I read an article about, which I don't have the citing for. I'll try to find it and post it this week. But on chroniclesofnania.com.
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Or find us on Facebook because I'll post it there as well. But it's the idea that a child only owns 15 toys. And so they can get a new toy. But it means they have to get rid of one of their 15. Like, you max it out at literally 15.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really interesting idea. It also, and when I was reading it, was talking about how this, because of this, you then encourage family members or family friends to only give them experiences or, like, put money towards experiences. Like memberships to museums or camps or whatever, instead of giving them physical toys.
Yeah.
So I think it would be difficult to do.
Yeah. 15. Yeah. Cause like size and shape. Yeah.
And I don't know that I would, then you just have to be really clear about your rules of like, does a truck that holds a bunch of smaller cars count as one toy?
Right.
Or does it count as five? So things like that I would be interested and curious about. Legos, what do those count as?
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to implement. I also I would hope that a parent wouldn't include books in that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially with all the studies about the more books you have around your house, the more literate your child will be.
Yeah.
Like later in life. Yeah. So,
so important.
So important. But you lit up when I said experiences. Yeah, so let's talk about that.
I definitely wrote that down. That I think that's a good way of managing it. And like also helping parents to, if you notice that there's a problem and like trying to talk to them about it. They actually, for one of the birthdays that came right after Christmas, it was last year, she wrote on the invitation, no toys.
Nice.
And he was all for it.
Right.
Because he was still going to get toys from his mom and dad and his grandparents, but like no friends brought toys.
Right.
Which was so great. And he was totally game.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with that, that rewards should and could be experiences instead of toys. Like that's such a quick way to get that instant gratification, but there's so much more of a buildup and so much more of a light in their eyes when they get to do something with you. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can even be as simple as like 15 minutes alone with mom or dad.
Yeah.
Of like, I promise you my undivided attention for this amount of time, and like your sibling won't be there.
Right.
Yeah, I know one family that I have nannied for, the mom and the dad both really try to carve out time for each individual child, which I think is just so special. And like they let that child kind of decide what he or she wants to do.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really great thing, and it bonds them really well. And sometimes I'm even nannying while they take one of them out. Yeah. So then I get individual time too, which is nice for me.
Yeah.
So I think those are all really great things. And it's something that I try to think about when giving Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I can't afford like a membership, a year-long membership. But I can't afford like one like one trip to the nature museum.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I have done before.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. One of the kids I nannied really loves butterflies and insects. And so in Chicago, we have this nature museum that has a butterfly room. Mm-hmm. And so I took her there for that. And she loved it.
That's great.
Yeah. So those are all really good ideas to help combat, to help like kind of get in front of toy overload.
Yeah.
I think. Another thing that I know that books aren't really toys, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with having a lot of books. Mm-hmm. However, books can fall into that category of mess when they are torn or not being read.
Yes.
Or anything like that. And so something that I have really found to work well for that is going to the library.
Yeah.
With some frequency.
Yeah.
And having the talk of, we have to return these books and then we get to check out new books.
Yeah.
Also gets them in that mindset of
giving something back instead of keeping it. Yeah. For sure.
And so that has made then talks of giving away toys a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, but I already do that with my books.
Right. Yeah. That's great.
And then if there's one that they check out over and over and over,
then you buy it for them.
Then I buy it for them for the next Christmas or whatever. Genius. Yeah. It's worked out quite well.
That's great.
Yeah. We talked before a little bit about talking to parents, but And maybe you haven't experienced this directly, but do you have any advice or thoughts on if the parents are kind of stubborn about toy overload and just like buying so many toys and you're just like,
this is
unmanageable?
I know. I think that it does get to them. They do notice it like on the weekends and stuff. But for the most part, they're pretty okay with me kind of taking the reins, as long as I, like, I know, like I said, they like to keep some baby stuff, and there's toys that like the dad has passed down.
Right. That
definitely they want to keep, which I totally get. That's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're kind of okay with me just... I don't even think they notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I there are some families that the nanny is there so much of the day that I think that the parents actually may not even know except on those weekends. And sometimes families that the nanny is there during the week so much, and then on weekends they have such busy social calendars for their kids that it's like they actually never really see their kids interact with their toys.
Right.
Which I can easily see how that would happen.
And I also have an interesting situation because I still work while the kids are in school.
Right.
So I'm doing like household errands and things like that.
Yeah, like house manager stuff.
Yeah. So that's part of it, is that I like take the time to go through the toys and make sure that everything's good so that they can get more in. And yeah.
Yeah, that's all really good.
Yeah.
I think we somewhat talked about like community spaces, but what about kids' rooms?
Oh, yeah.
Have you found that having fewer toys in the kids' rooms or letting the kids' rooms kind of be their sanctuary of like, I can have this room however I want it, the other rooms I have to keep clean?
Yeah. So they both started with just books and stuffed animals in their rooms, and that's kind of how it was. When one of them started to wean off of naps, he would ask to have toys in his bed. And I would let him play with toys before I came to read to him. But then as soon as that time was over, they got put away. And he could play with stuffed animals in his bed, but no hard toys.
Right.
Just to keep it separate so that it is like a different space, so that being in your bed isn't a playtime.
Yes.
So that they get that. But again, a little toy overload got pushed into those places. And now there's like a couple buckets of toys in his room. But it's still kind of the same rule where he will play with them outside of his bed. But he doesn't bring them in his bed as much anymore. The other one is younger and he likes to bring one or two toys that just sleep on his bed with him.
Yes, I've experienced that as well.
Which is totally fine with me because he doesn't play with it either. And I think just because they have never really had toys in their room.
Right.
That was never an option for them.
Right. I think that's a good point about keeping the bedrooms as really a place for like winding down and like only really sleep happens in here. Is a good idea, especially for little kids that are still like napping and trying to figure out that of like when they're actually weaning off naps or when they're just struggling to like calm their brains down.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you still keep books in there though, so that it still is stirring their imagination a bit, just in a different way.
Yeah. And they can like flip through the books or as soon as they get old enough, read the books.
Yeah.
Which is great.
No.
One of my older nanny kids was like, can I read to you tonight?
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
I know. It just made my heart so happy.
That's amazing.
Yep. That's like my dream. Right? My English major dream.
I'll sit back.
Yep.
Read to me.
You're like an audiobook. wonderful. Well, I think we got it.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it.
I can't really think of anything else.
Yeah. But if you, listener, have something that you were like, but wait, they didn't talk about this, please email in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. And I would be more than happy to answer it for you or to research. And then I can also reach out to Leah and get her ideas. Yeah. On your question, if there's something that you're like, but they didn't talk about this. And I would love to help you in any way that I can. And then also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, because I will be putting up articles about this on those places, or visit chroniclesofnania.com. And I will be putting up stuff there too. Also, if you have been enjoying listening to Chronicles of Narnia and have an extra 5 minutes, if you can go on iTunes and write a review, that is the best way for us to reach new listeners. So if you can just go on, give us the star rating that you feel is appropriate.
5 stars.
I hope it's 5 stars. But if it's not, then tell me why in that review. Even not so great reviews are still helpful. So if you have an extra 5 minutes, I would really, really appreciate that. And then we end each episode with a fun story or quote from a kid.
So I got a good one from a few days ago that I texted you about, but I got to put it on here because it was great. So the younger kid and I were reading a book, and it was labeling foods and drinks and things, and I pointed to a white carton that had a cow on it, and I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I don't know." And I said, "Yes, you do. It's got a cow on it." And he said, "Oh, cow juice?" We laughed about it, both of us, for quite some time. It was great.
That's so funny. But I mean, it makes sense.
It does. It makes it so much sense. But it sounds gross.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So I shut it down.
I love it.
I said, no, it's milk.
No, this is milk, clearly.
Thanks for trying.
Well, thank you so much, Leah.
Thank you. It was great to be on.
Yeah. And thank you for listening. Have a great week.
The Chronicles of Narnia is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Narnia and on Twitter at Narnia Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnarnia@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.